thank you for being here once again. Thank you for joining us for our first class of the new year, term number one in 2017. And we have an exciting new theme, which has already been a blessing, a theme that focuses on soul winning. And the Lord is going to encourage us this year, as we've been encouraged last year, to grow and to move forward by faith. The pinnacle of that process is to launch out by faith to tell others about the faith. Amen?
Amen.
So wonderful, wonderful next step for us this year in 2017. And this year our studies are wrapped up in a title that I've named Becoming Fishers of Men. Becoming Fishers of Men. And that's what we're going to learn about this year. And our first term is focused on the 12 disciples. So I hope everyone has a handout sheet this morning. If you haven't got a folder, please see me after Sunday school. I'll be happy to get you one. But there in your notes and in your Bibles, you'll find John chapter 15 and verse 16. Let's read this one verse together. The book of John, chapter 15 and verse 16. Thank you, parents, for those of you who brought your teens and your children to Sunday school. That's a wonderful blessing. We'll pray for our classes in a moment. John chapter 15 and verse 16. The Lord says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Let's pray. Lord, you are so gracious to us to, Lord, be our Saviour and be our guide and be our teacher. And Lord, we pray that you would revive our hearts as your people to be witnesses for you. And Lord, we need your help to tell others of Christ. And Lord, we need your strength and your power. Lord, we know that we can only be faithful as your witnesses if we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, we know that the Spirit of God works through your word. So we pray that he would be our teacher this morning. And Lord, that he would lead us into truth, that we may be encouraged and challenged by the word of God. And that through this series, Lord, we as adults may be, Lord, revived. May that fire of passion for Christ be rekindled, Lord, and may you stir up within us a greater passion to reach the lost and to know that you can use us just like these 12 disciples of old. Lord, we pray that you would work through these lessons and that only the Lord Jesus Christ would receive the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen and good morning and welcome. Thank you for being here. And as I already mentioned, our series this term is on the 12 disciples. The series for the year is entitled Becoming Fishers of Men. And first of all, we are going to look at the 12 whom God chose. There in John chapter 15, as you can see, the Lord Jesus said to these 12, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." I have chosen you. And a wonderful connection to our theme this morning, the Lord said, and ordained that you should bring forth what?
Fruit.
Amen. You should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And so here we see the Lord Jesus Christ choosing 12 disciples. And it's an amazing thing to realize that the Lord Jesus' plans and purposes to establish to send forth the gospel to the world, to establish, to advance his kingdom, his plans and purposes in this world were hinged on these 12
men, these 12 men. Now, that's an amazing thought. Because remember, one day the Lord ascended and went up to heaven, and the Bible tells us that it was left in the hands of these 12 to finish what Christ had started, to send forth the gospel into the world. Now, what was so special about these 12 men? Now, would you agree that they were called to an extraordinary task? So that would usually mean that these 12 must have been something special. They must have been something extraordinary for such an extraordinary job. I mean, who else could do such an amazing, fulfill such a great supernatural task? Well, what we're going to learn this term, and what I want to encourage you with, that the extraordinary reality of these men's lives is found in this, that they were just ordinary people like you and I. Ordinary Christians like you and I. You see, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that delights in using ordinary people. Now, just by way of introduction, before I give you our first blank, let's just bring to mind some things we know about these 12 disciples. Now, first of all, none of them were great public speakers, were they? But later on, the Lord said, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." That means they would have to speak publicly before thousands of people sometimes and declare the gospel. But none of them were great public speakers, these 12 disciples. None of them were great theologians. In fact, in the religious Jews' mind, the religious Jews of the day, these men were nothing. And they knew nothing, according to the religious establishment of the day. Now, they weren't outstanding in any way. They didn't have any natural talents or intellectual abilities in the ministry. On the contrary, as we look through the Gospels, would you agree that the disciples time and time again were prone to mistakes? They were prone to doubt. They were prone to argue. They were proud and not humble many times. They were prone to unbelief. Many times the Lord rebuked them for their unbelief. And we even see many times where they failed. None more so than the chief of the head or the leader of the disciples, who was named Peter. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to look at Peter. And one lesson at a time, we're going to look at each disciple individually. But Peter's life, and the title of that lesson will be Peter, the disciple with the foot-shaped mouth. And you know, so often he put his foot in his own mouth. And let me encourage you this morning. These men were ordinary men. These men were people just like you and I. And the Lord said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." It is the Lord that did the miraculous through their lives. And likewise, He wants to do the miraculous through your life and mine. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that an encouraging truth? Now, these disciples were a mixed bag of people. They were a mixed group. They weren't just from one family, for example. They were a mixed group. There was a former zealot. Now, he was a radical, the Bible tells us, who wanted to overthrow the Roman government. And then on the other hand, one of the disciples was a tax collector. He was on the side of the Roman government. And God put these two together. Two of the 12 disciples. And then the Bible tells us that at least four, maybe up to seven of them, were fishermen. Lowly, humble tradesmen. Fishermen. Working on the Sea of Galilee. Just a humble trade. And they were close friends, perhaps even from childhood. Now, the others, we don't know what their backgrounds were, but most of them were from the region of Galilee. They weren't from the great city, the religious capital of Judea, which was Jerusalem. Look, if anything spiritual was going to happen, it was going to happen where the temple was, where Jerusalem was. That's what the religious establishment of the day believed. Everything centered around Jerusalem. But where did the Lord gather his disciples from? From Galilee. Can you see how ordinary these group of men were? Can you see how they were not extraordinary at all? In fact, they were so ordinary, it must have only been the miraculous power of God that enabled these ones to do such great things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, with all their faults, with all their flaws, and as ordinary as they were, God empowered these men to spread the gospel message. And as we'll see in Acts chapter 17 one day, they turned the world upside down, becoming fishers of men. That is God's calling upon your life and mine. We haven't chosen Him. He has chosen us. And friends, the Bible tells us that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. God has called us to bring forth fruit. And that means you and I need to become fishers of men. And first of all, just by way of introduction, let me encourage you that if God could use this motley crew of 12, of course, we're not talking about Judas. He was replaced by Matthias later on in the book of Acts, chapter 1. But if God could use these 12, then certainly He can use you and I. And that is the point of this series, this term. And as we look at the example of these 12, how God prepared them and shaped them for what He wanted to do, we'll see how God can use you and I and what He wants to do with us. Now, there are only 4 thoughts this morning that I'd like to share. Just by way of introduction, the week after, we're going to look at Peter and then so forth. We're going to look at each of the disciples one by one. You know, they were all different. They all had different weaknesses. They all had different personalities. They all had different backgrounds. But the Lord shaped them. He trained them. He molded them. And they continued to grow and to be used mightily of the Lord. That's what He wants to do with us. But by way of introduction this morning, we're going to look at the 4 key calls to the disciples that the Lord gave them. 4 main calling points of these disciples. Now, there in your notes, the first blank is the word salvation. First of all, when the Lord called these men, there was a call to salvation. This was the first phase of their journey with the Lord, a call to salvation. Now, in John chapter 1, verses 35 to 51, we read of Andrew, John, Peter, Philip and Nathanael encountering the Lord Jesus for the first time. Now, this event happened by the River Jordan, where John the Baptist was ministering, and Andrew and John and others were already there because, remember, they were already the disciples of John the Baptist. Do you remember when the Bible tells us that there was John baptizing? He was telling them that a greater one will appear, one whose shoes that he is not worthy to loose. And there was Andrew, there was John. They were already disciples of John the Baptist. And one day John the Baptist lifted up his head and he saw the Lord Jesus approaching. And what did he say? He said, "Behold, who? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did Andrew and John do? Well, the Bible tells us that they heard what their teacher said. They heard that this is the one, the Messiah, who has come into the world. This is the Lamb of God, the chosen sacrifice, the Son of God, come to the world to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Why? To take away our sins once and for all, to be our Savior. And the Bible tells us that they heard what their teacher said, and then they chose to believe in the one who was the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And here we see in the Word of God, John chapter 1, verses 35 to 51, that every follower of Jesus, first of all, is called to salvation. Is called to salvation. You see, the Bible says that we must believe in who He is before we follow Him. Now, let me warn you, many people today and many people in Jesus' day followed Him around. And they even called themselves followers of Jesus, but they were not His disciples. There were many that followed Him because they liked His teachings. They knew that he spoke forth the word of God, and they realized, hey, there's something important about what this guy is saying. There's something true about what he's saying. Of course, the word of God is true, and man would naturally be drawn to perhaps seek the truth. Of course, what the Lord said was very important, valuable, divine. But just because someone likes the teachings of Jesus doesn't mean that they are a disciple. You see, every true disciple, first of all, is called to salvation. We need to decide what to do with who Christ is. The Lord Jesus said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He is the Lamb of God. That's what John the Baptist said, didn't he? He didn't say, here comes a teacher greater than I. His words are much better than mine. No, he said, here comes the living sacrifice, the Lamb. The picture of the Old Testament sacrifices, that one day an innocent one will come who is sinless, God himself in the flesh, come down to earth, born of a virgin, and he would go to the cross and shed his holy blood as a sacrifice eternally for sin so that we may be saved. And don't miss it. There came a point in every single one of these 12 disciples' lives where they had to come to a decision, a point of decision. What were they going to do with Jesus Christ? And each and every one of them made a decision to personally accept Christ as their own Savior. Andrew and John did that. They beheld the Lamb of God. They believed in Christ for their salvation. That's why they followed him. That's why they called Peter and say, come and see. Come and see the Messiah. He's right here. And then Peter also believed. Friends, if we are to understand what it means to be a disciple, a fisher of men, first of all, we need to understand the call to salvation. Amen. This is such an important and probably the most important point in the Word of God and in our lessons. We need to make sure we're saved. Look, there are many people that follow the Lord Jesus today that are not saved. They're not going to spend eternity with him forever. Why? Because they like the Christian teachings. And I've met many people who call themselves Christians just because the only alternative is to be an atheist. And so they believe in God and they believe Jesus's words is the truth. So they say, well, I'm a Christian. Love thy neighbor. I believe that. And look, do unto others as we would have them do unto you. I believe that. And thou shalt not kill. And yes, everything that Jesus said, I agree with. I'm a Christian. Many people call themselves Christians today because they value what he taught. They value what he stood for. But they've never made a decision to personally receive Christ as their own Savior from their own wicked sins. You see, there's a difference. There's a difference. Many people call themselves Christians today in Australia because we have a Christian heritage. So if we're not Christians, really, what else would we be? Well, we're not Muslims. Muslims didn't sail here to Australia. We just celebrated Australia Day. Thankfully, a Western country colonized this country so that at least those who knew the Lord as Savior could bring the Word of God and preach the gospel, and that our government would be founded on a standard of morals and values that is based upon the Word of God. I'm not saying every one of them were Christians. In fact, many that came to Australia did horrific things. But some were Christians. And our government is founded upon Christian values, though we are not a Christian nation. And so many people would say, hey, I'm a Christian because, well, what else would I be? Like, I'm not a Buddhist. I'm not a Hindu. I mean, those are, no, we're Australians. So, of course, we're Christians. That's what naturally people would gravitate to. But that doesn't make someone a believer. That doesn't make someone a disciple. Every single one of these 12 had to come to a place where they had to decide, what am I going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, don't miss it. There came a time where the Lord preached the most confronting message that he ever preached. that was so confronting, that was so difficult for people to accept, most of the followers that were following him left. Isn't that right, Brother Huey? Most of them left. It was too hard for them to listen to anymore. And do you know what the Lord Jesus said in that message? He said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." And he was simply telling all that they must partake of him. They must receive him as Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the only one. Only through him may they have eternal life. And it was too much for most that stood around. And then the Lord looked at his 12 disciples and he said, "Will you leave also?" And you know what? They said, "No." He just said, "You have the words of life. We will follow you." Why? Because they'd already come to a decision that he is the Christ. He was their Savior. That's what the difference was. Friends, are you a Christian in name only? Or do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? First of all, if we're going to be a fisher of men, we need to have heard and responded to the call of salvation. Now, if you're not sure about your salvation this morning, it's very easy. You're in the right place. Make sure you let someone know that you're not sure whether you're a Christian. Make sure you let someone know if you'd like to know more about becoming a Christian. That's why we're here. We're here to help. And the Lord calls every day to the hearts of men, "Come to the cross and be saved. Come and receive the gift of eternal life, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." All right, secondly, notice the next phase in this, in the disciples' journey. They were saved. Secondly, there was a call to surrender. That's your next blank. The call to surrender. Now, Luke chapter 5 gives us the details of what happened in this event. You can turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. First, there's a call to salvation. Then there's a call to surrender. Now, between these two calls, the disciples were still working their usual jobs. They were still fishermen. They were following the Lord as their teacher, as their Savior. But they were still fishermen and they were still working in their normal jobs. But then there was a call to surrender. Then there was a call to surrender. Now, do you remember in the Luke, in the book of Luke, chapter number 5, the Bible tells us that in verses 1 and 2, "And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him," the Lord, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," that is the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." So here's the Lord Jesus Christ teaching by the Sea of Galilee. The crowds were so huge. Now remember, not all of them were believers, but they were listening. It doesn't mean that that was a group of saved people. They were listening. And because the group was so large, the Lord had to keep stepping back. There was no room. He was being pushed into the sea, if you will. And the Lord Jesus said to Peter, notice what the Bible says. The Lord said to Peter in verse number 3, he asked him, he prayed him to push out a little from the land in his boat. So he hopped into Peter's boat. And the Lord Jesus taught from the boat. But after he had finished teaching, he turned his attention to Peter and he said, "Launch out into the deep." And what does he say in verse 4? "Let down your nets for a draught," or a catch, or a huge catch. Now, there was a big problem to this request. Why? Because first of all, the timing was wrong. Fishermen went out fishing at night. It was easier to catch fish at night, and the water was cooler for the fish to surface and to feed. Daytime wasn't the time to go fishing. So the timing was wrong. But this is what the Lord told to Peter. See, he was speaking to Peter. Peter was being prepared as a disciple. He was calling Peter to surrender to what the Lord wanted him to do. But the timing was wrong. Look, the place was wrong. Fish normally fed in shallow waters. They didn't go that far from the shore to catch fish in the Sea of Galilee. But the Lord said, "Launch out into the deep." The timing was wrong. The place was wrong. And the feeling was wrong. I assure you, Peter didn't feel like launching out. Why? Because as we read what the Bible says, that they were fishing all night the previous night. They got no sleep. And guess what? They caught no fish. They didn't catch any fish. They didn't have any sleep. Peter wouldn't have felt like it. His feelings were wrong. The timing was wrong. The place was wrong. And yet the Lord was asking him to surrender all that to him and simply follow his word. Can you see the call to surrender this morning? The call to surrender. Now, what took place next? Well, verses 6 and 7 tell us. And when they had this done, they obeyed the Lord. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. The net was so full of fish, don't miss it. It was breaking. It was busting at the seams. That's the phrase that we would use today. It was busting at the seams. The net was breaking and it required two boats to pull that haul of fish to the shore. But the most important point is this. What did the Lord Jesus say to Peter and the other disciples that were with him in this area of surrender? What did he immediately call them to do? When you compare the Gospels, the Lord gave his great call for them to surrender. What was it? Come ye after me. And you compare the Gospels and what happened. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The book of Mark doesn't contain all the details. It just says they were mending their nets. Then the Lord called them. But the event that took place in between was this wonderful event. The Lord showed himself and his power and his calling upon their lives. And then the Lord said, all right, now come after me and I will make you to become fishers of men. You see, it's the Lord that makes us to become fishers of men. These men were not extraordinary at all. They had no special talents. They had no special abilities. But there is something we see. They had a willingness to receive Christ as Savior. And then they had a willingness to surrender themselves to Jesus Christ. Can you see that this morning? A call to surrender. Friend, if you and I are going to become a fisher of men, we need to surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come after me, he says to us this morning, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. A righteous Christian is one who has surrendered their lives to the Lord. But we need to be careful in the Christian life, because salvation and surrender are two separate things. Salvation is first, and then we surrender our lives to God. When we hear the word of God, when we hear the preaching of God, when we grow as a Christian, we need to come to that point of full surrender, my friends. And so often, isn't it true, we use the excuses that Peter could have used, but they become our real excuses. Lord, I know that you want me to surrender, but the timing is wrong. Lord, this doesn't make sense. And really, it doesn't feel right. And Lord, the timing is wrong. I can't serve you right now. Lord, I want to serve you. I have that desire because I am saved. But Lord, I can't serve you right now. It's the wrong timing. Young people, oh, look, I'll serve the Lord when I'm older. I'm busy now. I don't have time to serve God. But that, not that kind of surrender. Oh, look, I'm an adult now. I've got bills to pay. I've got children that take up all my time. And there's so many things that I need to do. I don't have time for this kind of surrender. Do you notice that the Lord was calling these men to more than just being in church once a week? Would you agree? Come ye after me, he said, and I will make you to become fishers of men. He was calling them to surrender their lives so he could make them whom he wanted them to be. What a wonderful promise of God. But friends, you and I need to come. And what does the Bible say they did? They forsook their nets. Another passage in the Bible says that they forsook all and followed him. What did they do? They surrendered. Friends, they surrendered. That's why the Lord used them so wonderfully and mightily and powerfully, because they surrendered their lives into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't mean that the Lord will take your job from you, but it does mean you've surrendered it to him. And if it's his will, he may. Amen. He may say, I'll make you to become a fisher of men in that job. For these 12 disciples, he said, come after me. That means they had to forsake their nets. They had to surrender all to the Lord just like we do. And the Lord
led them and made them fishers of men.
Friend, are you and I true disciples of Christ? Are we following the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the answer to that question is found in the answer to this question. What have we forsaken? What have we forsaken? These men forsook family, friends, finances, feelings. They forsook it all. They forsook it all. What does that mean? They put the Lord first above everything else. It didn't mean that their dad Zebedee never talked to them again. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But they said, Lord, you're first. And they, do you understand what happened here? They said, Lord, you're first. We're going to follow you. That's why he could do such mighty things through ordinary people. Friend, if you want God to make you to become a fisher of men, there's a call to surrender. Notice thirdly, there's a call to service. A call to service. This is the point where the Lord started sending them out. They sat under his teaching. They were being trained. And then the Lord began to send them out. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus called unto himself in Luke chapter number 6, the 12, and he sent them out two by two. Isn't that wonderful? See, the Lord knows that we can't go out on our own. Hey, we're not ready yet. We need to be sent out two by two. He wants us to serve him together. He wants us to encourage one another. And what do we do as Christians in the church? Well, we sit at the feet of the Lord and hear the word of God. And we are strengthened and trained and prepared. But look, that's just the building up of our faith. There's an area, there's a call not just to surrender, but there's a call to service. That means we need to put some feet to our faith and go out and serve God. And go out and be a witness. You see, we are to take what we learn here and to put some feet, some legs to our faith and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our training. That's what the Lord's plan and will is for the local church. The Lord doesn't intend for us just to sit around and talk about him. We are to tell others about him. And that's why we go out together. Door knocking, we go out two by two. We meet in a group for prayer. And then we go out together to knock on doors, to tell people that Jesus saves. We letterbox together as a church. Amen. We pray for one another together. And we can liken that to the time where the disciples continue to meet back with the Lord. And, you know, as a wonderful Savior he is, he always stayed close to his disciples, didn't he? As you read through the Gospels, we don't have time to look in detail, but the Lord, just as the psalmist said, covered them with his wings as a mother hen does their precious little babes. He covered them with his wings. He protected them. He watched over them. Yes, they failed at times, but they were learning. Yes, they doubted at times. That's all part of the learning process, Christian. Don't be discouraged when you fail. Don't be discouraged when you doubt. The Lord is making us to become fishers of men. That's the call to service. We need to be willing to step out and serve. Amen. To step out and serve the Lord. And when we step out, Jesus Christ is with us. He is present in our lives. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a call to salvation. There's a call to surrender. And there's a call to service. Now, there are many Christians that never respond to the call to service because they haven't responded to the call to surrender. Friend, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Yes or no? He is either Lord or he is not. Which one is it? Why are we here? Friend, this is going to be an amazing year in our church. God is going to wake us up to what true Christianity is all about. God is going to revive our hearts when it comes to his purpose for our lives. I have ordained, the Lord Jesus said, that ye should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. What an amazing call of God to ordinary people like you and I. Friend, have you heard the call to service? Now, we all doubt. We all have times of disbelief. So did the disciples. Isn't that true? when you read about how they responded, can you see how patient the Lord is? He's patient with us. He hasn't given up on you, friend. He hasn't given up on you, Christian. He hasn't forgotten about you. You haven't been put on the shelf. He wants to use you. He wants to make you to become fishers of men. But the disciples were careful to respond to the call to service. They said, yes, Lord. And I'm sure they were fearful. I'm sure they were wondering what people will say when they go and talk to them about Christ. But they went, didn't they? They went out. They said, let's do this. Let's trust the Lord. And then they came back to the Lord for a season of encouragement, prayer, fellowship. Isn't that what the church is for? Amen. When we meet together with the Lord, we sit under His word and we're encouraged and built up, and then we go out again, surrendered to serve. Friends, that is why we're here. Lastly, there was a call to sacrifice. Now, this is just a little introduction. Let's end with this last point. There was a call to sacrifice. That's your last blank. You see, this is the final phase of their calling. And this happened after the Lord Jesus rose again from the dead. When the Lord Jesus appeared to the disciples, He sent them into all the world, and this was their last calling. This was their call to sacrifice for Christ. Now, isn't it true? Let's wrap this up quickly. Isn't it true that every single one of the disciples died for their faith? They gave their life, except John was not martyred, but he gave his life for the faith also. He was exiled on Patmos after being horrifically persecuted and tortured. And the Bible tells us that even Matthias, who replaced Judas, was martyred for his death. I don't have time to go through the list of how they died. But they all gave their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, the Lord Jesus calls us, lastly, to sacrifice. To sacrifice. But let me say this. None of us will ever sacrifice the same way that these 12 did. None of us will. Why? Because we live in a nation with laws. Why? Because we have a Christian heritage. We have absolute freedom to preach the gospel. And you might say, well, Pastor, it's so difficult to be a Christian in the day in which we live. Yes, there is. There are difficulties. We understand that. You may feel like I feel like sometimes alone in this world as a Christian. I mean, sometimes have you ever felt helpless and hopeless at the increase of wickedness and the decrease of faith? And you might sit back and think like I have had at times, Lord, what can I do? Lord, what can I do? Think about these 12 for a moment. They didn't just face persecution. They faced death on every side. From the Romans that ruled the nation. From the religious Jews that ruled the spiritual aspect of Judea, of Israel. And then they had persecution from their relatives, from their family. They had death on every side. And yet the Lord used them wonderfully, and they entered into glory, having accomplished their task. And the very fact that we're here today is the evidence that their fruit remained 2,000 years later. Christian, are you willing to sacrifice? And by the way, I'm not talking about your life. We ought to be willing to give our lives for the gospel. But the practical reality is, all that you and I are going to require to sacrifice are things like our humility, our pride, being willing to be rejected, perhaps yelled at. Perhaps someone will close their door and say, I don't want that invitation. Perhaps someone will say, don't come back to my doorstep. Friends, is that a too great a sacrifice for the one who saved us? The one who's called us to become fishers of men? Friends, we have it easy. We have it easy. And may it be to our shame if we are not willing to do that much as being willing to sacrifice to be misunderstood. Maybe we might lose our job. Maybe we may be rejected. Maybe we may lose friends or even family. And that is the sacrifice that Christ is calling us to. That's nothing compared to these 12. And as we study the lives of these 12 men, let's be encouraged that He chose ordinary people to complete an extraordinary task. And that task is not yet complete. It is still in motion today. And He has called us as believers in this place, in this local church, to become fishers of men. Do you hear the Lord's call this morning? Salvation, surrender, service, and sacrifice. That's how the ordinary can become extraordinary in Christ. Let me encourage you to be in prayer as we follow these studies through. Pray that God will use you in the same way He did these ones for His glory.